This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, April 22nd, Gillette Stadium. 1 week from today, Paul Perillo. We should have new
second-round pick
of the New England Patriots. But right now, this Roster Report podcast here on Patriots.com will not include any roster moves because we are still in the midst of an NFL lockout, work stoppage, lawsuit, litigation period in which no moves can actually take place. And we are, as I mentioned, a week away. Next Thursday night, the first round of the NFL draft. And then we'll continue on Friday and Saturday. Those will be the only moves on the calendar for your New England Patriots and the other 31 NFL teams in terms of adding talent to their roster. So today we thought we would look at a different roster, one that will be very much involved with what occurs next week. That's the scouting department. Every team has their whole rundown of scouts now.
I can't wait.
Finishing up their draft boards and their final grades and stacking it both vertically and horizontally, Paul Perillo.
Correct.
Yeah, obviously in New England, everyone knows who the top dog is. He goes by the name of BB, and he just, you know, injected himself into our podcast.
Everybody just do your job!
Exactly, Bill. And your job is to oversee it all and make the final decision. But when you make that decision, you're utilizing the information and work of many, many, many men who are working below you. His prime assistant is Nick Caserio, Director of Player Personnel, obviously, Paul Perillo. What?
We're all going to do this.
I'm just going to go run down real quick, and then okay. We'll get into some discussion. Obviously, Floyd Reese has been a member of the organization as a senior football advisor, and senior football advisor for the last couple years. As you can tell, I'm checking the media guide.
Says
sure
senior football advisor. Yes.
And then Jason Light.
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
Yes, the director of pro personnel, and John Robinson is the director of college scouting. We'll get more on that in a minute. One of the underrated people in the organization in that department, Nancy Meyer, who is the director of scouting administration. She oversees it all. If there's a visit, if there's a plane flight, if there's a workout, if there's a scout, if there's an anything.
She's hot, too.
Nancy gets it done. She also helps us set up our combine accommodation. She is the best. Been here for some 30-odd years.
She's seen a lot in this organization, I'll tell you.
If Gil Brandt is the patriarch of the NFL scouting combine, Nancy Meyer, New England's own, is the matriarch. That's her show. Don't ever forget it. Then Robert Quinn. No, not that Robert Quinn. This one goes by Bob.
Quinny.
He's the assistant director of pro personnel in the scouting department. Brian Smith, who's had a many, many roles in the organization.
Who Fred refers to as Schmitty.
Is the assistant director of college scouting. Patrick Stewart is a pro scout. Kyle O'Brien is a national scout. He's been around quite some time. Former Harvard man, I believe. Monty Ossenfort is a national scout. Dewan Daniels, area scout. Frank Edgerly, you don't want to cross him because he's got an edge, area scout. Tim Heffelfinger, area scout. Francie Jordan, area scout. Larry Cook, scouting consultant.
And yes. Larry Cook used to have a much bigger role within that scouting. He's sort of stepped back a little bit.
Semi-retired?
As he has gotten older. But he used to run the whole show.
And one last
name. At an earlier point in the Belichick regime.
Ernie Adams, who, as the football research director, has his fingers in everything in this organization. Bill Belichick's right-hand man. But, Paul, I want to get back to John Robinson, director of college scouting.
Yeah, because we had a chance to talk to him yesterday.
Obviously, these are all college players.
Right.
So his job in overseeing the area scouts and regional scouts and all that is very important. You had a few minutes to talk with him yesterday about the process and where they're at. How did that go?
It was good. I asked him to briefly sort of give me an overview of the process, you know, and how it works from him. And what he does is he sets a schedule for all of those area scouts that you just talked about, that you just mentioned. And he gets them out to a schedule. Basically, it's an itinerary of the schools that he wants them to get out to. He said, now, part of a good scout's job is to, you know, go a little bit outside the box, and you hear about a player somewhere in your area that you're not scheduled. You want to make sure you get there, too.
Right.
You don't want to be missing anybody. So what they do is
you hear about a wrestler like Stephen Neal, you go check out a wrestling match.
But that's a perfect example. I'm sure that wasn't on anybody's radar when they went out to look at USC. in some of the other California schools. Cal State Bakersfield, right. You know, has this great wrestler that right. is interested in playing football.
Or recently the basketball players, the power forwards, or even right. now some lacrosse players who are trying to make the transition late in their career to football.
So what John said was they, you know, they start there and it's, at least a year in advance. For some of the younger guys who excel at an, you know, as freshmen and sophomore, it can be 2 years they're following guys. And they're just gathering as much information as they can, and they build on it from there. And then once you get through their football season, and through the fall, and then it's all the stuff, all the regular stops that we talk about along the way. In January, it's the All-Star Games, and that's when you can first really have, you know, in-depth meetings with these players. You know, you meet them at the Senior Bowl and you have combine-like interviews with players there. You go to the combine in February. Then you have pro days and visits throughout March and April, and you continue to compile information. And what John explained was once you get all your evaluations from all your scouts, and then he oversees that as the college scouting director, obviously, as the title would indicate, he then gets that all together. They prepare it all, and they give it to Nick Caserio and to Bill. And the three of them sort of collaborate, and that's how the draft board itself gets formulated. Obviously, Bill would have the final call on all those things, but it is a collaborative effort. And right now, he estimated that they're pretty much 90% done. There's a little tinkering here or there. He also explained, which I thought was a little interesting, not a lot of movement on that board once it's set. So whatever you start getting that, whatever you want, maybe February, you're getting that process started, mm-hmm. not a lot of movement. Once they get it sort of formulated, they have an idea of who they like and who they don't like and what positions are stronger than others. It generally stays roughly the same. There's a little tinkering, and he did mention that the visits are just exactly what we talk about. Every time we find out a guy's coming here, almost always it's a medical follow-up. They know these guys. They know the players. They know what they can do, but they want to get another look medically at a Daquan Bowers knee situation, for example,
right.
as a high-profile guy who's had a lot of visits around the league. So that was it in a nutshell.
And it makes sense that the board doesn't change that much because, as they like to say, no one's played football. And it's about playing football. And once November, December end, you know, you might get a bowl game, but for the most part, no football is played. It's all shorts and, you know, T-shirt type workouts and measurements. And aside from major injury concerns, right. you know what kind of a football player the guy is. And now it's your decision, does he get marked down a little bit because of some character concerns or off-field whatever, but the football playing has been long concluded at yeah. that point in the spring process.
And one other element I'll add about the visits that they have in the medical, he did say that they also like to kind of compare notes, you know, because they get an opportunity when they have the visits here, you know, they'll sit down, you know, here in the Patriots offices and they'll watch film. They'll watch some of their film. They'll watch some of the Patriots film. And they'll do that. It's mostly working with the coaches,
mm-hmm.
but they also, Bill likes to also get an impression from the scouting department on their interviews. And how'd you think he came across? They want to see if they have a differing opinion of, well, geez, he said A, B, and C to me upstairs, where when he went down with you guys, he said, you know, X, Y, and Z, and that really didn't match. So I thought that was a little, of an interesting take too, but it's not anything that you wouldn't think goes on. It's not this secret, you know, behind the curtain that going on that you wouldn't think, wow, I never thought they actually did that to evaluate a player. It's a lot of common sense.
It's a lot of work.
And it's a lot of work. There's
collection
a lot of
information,
players. There's
right.
a lot of players and a lot of data to compile and to get easily accessible, mm-hmm. to make easily accessible. So, yeah, and he did also say that, you know, the old thing that Thomas Dimitroff said to us way back when, you know, the draft is like Christmas Day to a scout, and they can't wait to get those, you know, picks and have them made and find out which guys, you know, that they really liked that the Patriots agreed on, you know, the brass agreed on and become Patriots. They can't wait for that
right.
process to unfold.
And it's a lot like what we do. I mean, we spend a shorter period of time, but the last few months talking about all these prospects, who we like, who we dislike, we
yeah.
like it when a name pops up that,
we
oh, yeah,
it.
We talked about him, we liked him, we thought he would fit in New England. They agreed, they drafted him. It's a similar type of situation, except this is their lives and they've spent
Mendenhall
years.
Mendenhall is
yeah,
ridiculous.
The main difference
you know,
is obviously
from Robert
the pressure.
Quinn,
the pressure.
Most people don't talk about a single player for years at a time.
But
like
how exciting was it for you? I mean, I'm using in quotations. But Rob Gronkowski last year, I mean, it's a guy that you liked a lot. You thought made a perfect Patriot, and the Patriots agreed. That's, you know, it's rewarding. Now,
like to hit.
We don't have anywhere.
I'm sure they're like me, and they ignore the ones you miss on.
But we don't have any of the pressure that they have.
Right.
We just have guys that we identify and like.
Right.
Their lives depend on it.
Yeah. Bill won't be calling me and saying, what the bleep did you said the guy had a good first step. He's the slowest guy off the ball I've ever seen in my life.
What are you going to do? These things happen, Bill.
They do, but we're coming down the home stretch,
that,
and those guys are getting close to having some presents to unwrap, potentially 9 presents to unwrap, or trade up, trade down, who knows. But another interesting roster, so to speak, came out this week, Paul, and that's the NFL schedule. Assuming at some point
Correct.
We do get back to football and games, and there is a league for which we will all work and cheer and everything that we do. The schedule came out, and the New England Patriots will open up on the road at the Miami Dolphins on a somewhat primetime game, Monday Night Football, September the 12th, the early game, because as they always do, they open with a doubleheader Monday night, 7 o'clock at Miami Dolphins. Warm weather, but it's a night game, so that should...
So the pregame social will have to start about, what, 5:05 that night?
Something like that. I'm still getting Fred Kirsch's schedule on that. But yes, the Dolphins sound effect in full effect, and the Patriots actually have 3 of their first 4 games on the road. After that opening trip to Miami, they return home to take on the Chargers, who generally stink early in the season, so that's a good draw for them. And then they return to the road. Woo! Do you have a soundbite for every one? Should I pause in between? To take on the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills. Crickets. And then they stay on the road a week later across the country to take on the Oakland Raiders in the black hole. Do you have a black hole? Nothing? Crickets?
Excuse me?
And then they return home for what is the meat of the schedule, Paul Perillo. The 8 games in the center of the season is where this team's mettle will be tested and their overall record will be decided. New York Jets at home, Dallas Cowboys at home before the October 23rd bye. On the road at Pittsburgh, 4:15. Return home to take on the Giants, on the road to take on the Jets on Sunday Night Football. Return home to take on Matt Castle, Scott Pioli, and the Kansas City Chiefs on their second Monday Night Football appearance. Then go on the road to take on Michael Vick, then on a 4:15 game, and then return home for another Sunday Night tilt against Peyton Manning of the Colts. What do you think of that stretch there, those 8 games right there in the center of the season?
You're right. I mean, that's how you're going to decide this team will ultimately be defined. Now,
good, great, or bad?
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I think there's enough home games in that stretch that I don't foresee, you know, a big losing streak. But, yeah, listen, all schedules are going to have their fair share of challenges. I thought last year's schedule, quite frankly, was more challenging on paper than this one. We'll see, you know, how it all unfolds. But the Patriots are a good football team. I think we all know that. Regardless of what happens next week in the draft, we already know they're a good football team. And I think that it's a challenging schedule that they'll deal with.
And theoretically, before I get into the conclusion of the schedule, they're a football team that is as well-suited as anyone
for this
to roll out of a strike and go into a season.
I agree.
A lockout and play games under adverse conditions, short, whatever. They have Tom Brady. They have Bill Belichick. They have a system that's been in place as just about as long as any in football.
Brady's probably psyched. No one's making a big deal out of the fact that I'm not in Foxborough.
That's true.
I'm just kidding.
He's not allowed to be in Foxborough. But, you know, I think the Patriots will be as suited as any team in football just about to deal with whatever conditions come into play, whether it be June, July, August, into September. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the systems that are in place here in New England should be ready to handle that. And if they are in that midseason stretch, if they can get through that with a relatively good record, feeling pretty good about themselves, then they should feel really good down the stretch because they have 4 very winnable games to close out the season. They have 2 road games in early December at Washington and at Denver. And then they close out the year taking on the Dolphins and finishing up with the Bills here in Foxborough. So very good chance you could end with a, 4-0 record. I mean, 3 of those teams are picking in the top 10 in the draft. I mean, they're not exactly the most competitive teams in football,
right,
theoretically, based on last year's schedule.
Right.
And if you're interested, the Miami game is Christmas weekend, December 24th, 1 p.m. here in Gillette Stadium. And then the Patriots will play New Year's Day here at Gillette Stadium with another 1 p.m. game.
We're going to go drink.
Only 4 1 p.m. games on the schedule, which was a little bit interesting. And three of those four come in the last month of the season, which means they could also be flexed out of 1 o'clock games and end up in different time slots. Patriots have four primetime games. As I said, they open at Miami Monday Night Football, host the Jets Sunday, November 13th here at Gillette Stadium. The very next week, go to New York Jets for Sunday Night Football. Then the very next week, host the Chiefs here Monday Night Football at Gillette Stadium, and then host the Colts on December 4th for Sunday Night Football, Gillette Stadium. So, difficult schedule in the middle of the year, but, you know, pretty good breaks in terms of opening and closing the season. And if they're as good as we think they are, then they'll be a pretty good football team who goes down the stretch with a winning record, rolls into the playoffs on a winning streak there in December, and maybe looks forward to another home game here at Gillette Stadium in the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. One more thing I think we should add is the point that you put you made this morning. Adam Schefter reporting that the NFL has sort of incorporated some lockout insurance of their own with the schedule. They can buy themselves 3 weeks.
Yes.
We know Super Bowl weekend, Super Bowl site in Indianapolis, they have sort of made a contingency plan that it could go an extra week.
Yep.
They have the hotel space bought up in Indy. Just something
to
think about.
They could kill the bye week before the Super Bowl. And
they've instructed all teams to keep their bye week open, their facilities open during their bye week.
Because apparently every third week matchup, which is the game where the Patriots travel to the Bills, every week at three matchup pits two teams who share the bye week later in the season, so they could obviously miss that game and play it during their bye. And therefore, theoretically, the NFL could start the season 3 weeks late, which means the Patriots would theoretically, again, open up at Oakland on October 2nd
right.
if the lockout went that far and this contingency plan came to light. But as of right now, we are looking ahead to real football. Monday, September 12th, 7 p.m. in Miami, Sun Life Stadium. Fins up.
Or whatever it is.
I think
nowadays.
It's Sun Life still, right? Fins up. Jimmy Buffett. Jennifer Lopez, if she's not still on American Idol, and all the stars.
I think she's still talking on American Idol.
Serena Williams and everybody else on the red carpet, but Tom Brady and company will also be on the red carpet. Until then, until next Friday, when thankfully we will have some players to talk about, there will be new members of the New England Patriots, I kind of guarantee, by this time next Friday, assuming they don't trade all the picks out of the first round and move down into the second day. Hopefully we'll be talking about trading up and taking somebody like Robert Quinn or Alden Smith, or impact pass rusher. But until then, I'm going to rest up because it's going to be a long 3 days of draft coverage here on Patriots.com. PFW in progress, Thursday night, 8 p.m. until the close of the first round. Friday night, we'll do sometime 6 to 9. And then Saturday, 2 to 4, we'll wrap it all up with all of the Patriots picks, trades, and new faces. Until then, for Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. Peace out.